Well, a pleasant good
Love
day to
Hope
you.
Radio.
And a great day to you. Thank you for tuning in. This is another day, and we're so happy that you're here with us. What we need today is a little more love. We're going to share that this morning with my special guest here on the line. We're going to be talking about how to use the worst of life to make the best of life. We're going to be talking about life and growing and success and wisdom and power and, oh, my God, it sounds like a whole lot. But I guarantee if you listen in and you join in, you'll find strength inside of you that's hidden deep down inside. Remember when you was just a little young one and you thought that you could take the world by storm and there was nothing too strong for you to overcome. You knew you was going to be a winner. You knew it all the way. And somehow going through life, we get jaded, we get misused, we get abused, we get hurt. And, oh, my God, we don't think that we can make it another day. But somehow we get through the worst of life and make the best of life. This is Help Somebody. And I am on the radio, Carl White. And we are Can You Be Real this morning, talking with a good friends of mine, T. Renee Crutcher and also Lucia B. Little Star. They're both on the line. They're anxious to share some of their greatness that they've had been able to go through in life. And so we're going to be discussing solutions to life's problems, because we know everybody's got a lot of problems and everybody's got situations and circumstances that come against you. But we are going to talk about how to use the worst of life to make the best of life. T. Renee, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, look, trying to make the best out of life.
There you go. And I think that's so important. So many times we get caught up in circumstances, situations, and conditions. And then we, instead of using these things for our advantage, sometimes we get overwhelmed. And the issue is that one of the things that I use in my life often is my Aunt Helen. She gave me these profound words many years ago. And you would ask her, say, well, how you doing? And she would say, baby, I'm doing the best I can with what I got to work with. That's old school wisdom. Yes, indeed. So what do we do when things just don't seem to go right? And you know, we prayed and we try to treat people right, and situations just become a little unbearable, and I know that sometimes a word or a song may come to mind, but what do you use in those times?
Oftentimes, I'll be honest with you, I find that tears are quite cleansing. I try to be honest about, I think honesty is very key. I try to be honest, and I have this word, and I hope that it doesn't offend people. I try not to be too hyper-holy. And when I say that, I meant we can't fool God when we are doubtful, when we begin to wonder if God is even real. Because in the toughest times, there are times when every now and then your faith can, you know, I mean, faith is difficult. But, you know, the Lord reminds us that you don't always have to have a mountain size of faith, but it's the faith the size of that of a grain of a mustard seed. So in those moments when faith begins to wane, in those moments where you really can't see the sunshine for the rain and all of those other kinds of things, I find being honest with God is very real. So there's time for me, you know, personally, I put myself out like David in the Psalms. I just put it all on the line for God. But I also try to do so being mindful with a spirit of gratitude that I am speaking with God, that it is an honor and a privilege to speak with the Creator for this God who made us in God's image, and try to find that image of God by faith in my own spirit. So oftentimes that pouring out, though, that crying before God, that pleading, trying to gain wisdom, asking for wisdom and asking for strength, and for being grateful to just be able to have the presence of mind to go through the throne of grace. Even that comes only by the privilege of the Lord, by grace and mercy. So I try to be honest. I try to have a spirit of gratitude always in dealing with the Lord. And really, whatever type of faith I have to move on that, some days it's mustard seed faith. Other days it's mountain moving faith. And I try to capitalize on any one of those things. And then on those days when it's just, when you're just too weary, you don't even have the pray, all I do is call the name of Jesus. Sometimes, Lord, I don't even have the strength or the will to pray, so let me just call your name. Could you just let me feel your presence? Now, not always, I'll be honest with you, not always am I feeling his presence, but if you look outside and you can still see sunshine, and then for those who aren't able to see it, can feel it, or any of those things, but you got to know if you just wake up and you still are able to breathe, there is much to be grateful for.
That is so wonderful. That's so wonderful. And the part about being honest and being able to cry before the Lord. Now, you know, some of the brothers listening to that is, I ain't going to be crying. So what would you say to the men that, you know, they think crying is not masculine?
Well, I think, first of all, crying can be metaphoric or euphemistic. You know, crying is to me, a part of being honest. Now, if we talk about actual tears, I think it's utterly ridiculous and obvious that society has imposed such a notion upon men that crying is weak. As a little child, if you remember, sometimes the first Bible verse you read, which is the shortest, is Jesus wept. You know?
Yep.
And Jesus wept at the death, knowing that he could raise him up, wept at the death of his friend, Lazarus. So if Jesus is the God of miracles, weep, then are we any less than that God? Are we any more than that God? I do think that society has robbed men. And so as a result of not being able to be, sometimes for those who feel like I'm not going to cry, I'm going to put on the brave front, it is an act of dishonesty that society has perpetrated upon men. Because a man, any person of any strength knows that tears are cleansing. And if you equate it with the properties of water, if you equate it, my big mama used to have a saying, and my granddaddy did too. And they would always say, baby, don't worry about my tears of sorrow. I'm just making room for tears of joy.
All right.
And I love that. When you cleanse, it's an outpouring. It's a sense of honesty. It's a sense of acknowledging what is real. And when you can acknowledge what is so, that's strength. No matter what you're facing, when you can face it and you can be honest about those feelings, I think it makes you more compassionate. I think it makes you more that you're able to understand. So for my brothers, I say toughness is one thing, but toughness is a mindset and a spirit that encompasses honesty. So to just put on something, a brave face for no good reason, can sometimes also cause you not to face the reality of things. And if you can't face the reality of it, that means you're not going to deal with it very effectively. And a lot of times brothers check out of situations because they don't have the coping mechanisms to really deal with the emotional aspect of the hard times of life, and you can't get around it. You may put on the brave face, but you cannot get around it. And I think this is where you start to see dangerous trends in society. I think this is why we have war more than anything. I think this is why oftentimes addiction becomes a problem. I think this is why domestic violence and abuse tends to take place and sometimes very prevalent and more perpetrated by the male species because men have not been given permission to feel and to grieve about those feelings. So
it's amazing, though, that even the honesty factor of those things and how if a person is not in tune to themselves, then especially men, because I'm talking to the brothers this morning, because so many times, like you said, the brothers are the ones that are perpetuating the violence. And I believe it's also because we have a disconnect from the feelings of being whole, because having the tears that allow us to have the cleansing and to deal with our broken hearts. And you'll see some brothers sometimes, they'll just start crying for no particular reason at all. And the problem is that because we're not given an outlet, and we don't make an outlet for those type of things, that it does create almost a big ego. And my acronym for ego is EGO, edging God out. And
wow.
As we don't touch the emotional side of our life, because all the brothers are born with tear glands. And
yes.
The Creator, God, and had given us these for a reason. And so, and if I've got some tools in my toolbox that I'm not using, then I won't be able to fix all the areas of my life that I'm not familiar with. And so I think it's really key to using the worst of life in order to create the best of life. And often we have to go through the hard times, go through the pain and the tears, because it causes us to go inward and to see what's on the inside. And we as men, too, we're external creatures. We want the big house, the big car, the fancy woman. And every time we always see it, we always want to reach outside. But women are internal, and they hold things on the inside, and they are able to incubate things and give birth to things. And I think that we need to kind of do a little cross pollination there. And you're listening to How to Use the Worst of Life to Make the Best of Life on Can We Be Real? And we have another caller on the line too, Miss Lucia. And maybe you can talk to us about one of the things that T. Renee brought up, which was the hyper-holiness and how people can get into church and be so involved in the church that they'll say things like, well, baby, you're going through a struggle because you didn't pray right. And Lord knows you didn't pay right. And God help you because you didn't stay right. And so after you're doing all those things and things just don't happen to fall in place, can you kind of maybe pick up on that hyper-holiness?
Oh, good morning.
Good
how
morning
are you?
To you.
Morning.
Good morning, Mrs. Cluster. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed, thank you, and highly favored. It's nice to be on today. There's a lot. Oh, please ask me that question again.
Just about the hyper-holiness and, you know, how people can, you know, point out to your defects as opposed to a God that's omnipotent.
Okay. What I found out is I trust God, and my faith has got to grow much larger than I must see. But the simple fact is that when you have to go through some things in this life, and it seems to be very difficult. And I put all my trust in God and not in man, because man will let you down every time. Not sometimes, but every time. And it goes from mother to children, the sister to brother. You lose a child. You can lose your health. One, the doctors will tell you only have a few days or you have some dreadful disease. And that's when we can really trust God. And when we always have, the other thing about not being able to cry, the men, period. Like you said, why did God create tear ducts? Why did God create tears for man to be able to cry? Well, I think it's not right for man not to be able to cry. And I think it's for society to say that men should not cry is horrendous. It's a great injustice to a man's mental status.
Yeah.
It's not good for him at all. For a woman to think of a man as being less than a man because he cries makes you... I know that that's wrong, and that's a way that we've been taught for so long. And we seem to trust God when things are going right, but can we trust God when things are going wrong?
Well,
but when the brothers now are you know, they unemployed or underemployed or they've got struggles, how can you tell a brother to open up and to be able to share these things that, you know, society says if you don't have, you're weak. Is there some kind of strength in weakness?
There is. There's God in weakness. Because we're not weak. They think we're weak. They call weakness strength, weakness. And they call right, wrong. And what I would say to them is to know that what they have been called in the past, bad names, you're never going to be anything, you're never going to be anybody, you're nothing. Don't believe the lies that men, society has told them. Even their own, sometimes it's not even safe in the family way, mentally, emotionally, and psychologically. It can really mess you up. What I say to them is to open up their hearts and their minds to Christ Jesus and trust him with their whole heart and go on with their lives knowing that he has got them. And if they, like Sister Crutcher said, as long as they got faith as of a mustard seed, that's what it'll take to bring them through. But they must trust God, not man.
And do you think that sometimes we need to have a practical application, somebody that we can talk to, somebody we can be honest with?
Definitely. We all need somebody. Everybody needs somebody to talk to. Everybody. It's a terrible thing not to have anybody. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I'm going to tell you, brother, we all need some skin down here. We need some skin. We need an ear, somebody that can hear. Somebody
because
has
Jesus did have a body, didn't he? He was a human.
Yes.
Well, you know, if you remember when Paul was somewhat vexed by the thorn in his flesh, it's at those moments when Paul began to realize when, in his understanding that, that's when the Lord said to him that, you know, my grace is sufficient.
Yes.
And the Lord never bothered to remove the thorn from his flesh, and we still, you know, debate what that thorn is. But it really doesn't matter what the thorn was. It was, we do know that a thorn in anybody's flesh is a hurtful thing. So we know that it was something that was of great distress. It wasn't just an annoyance. It was a great distress for him. It was painful. It was distracting. There were many things related to that. But the Lord reminded us that without removing it, that when you are weak, I am strong. And I think it's in moments that if we trust the Lord, that we will make, we'll see how God's strength. Let me put this in perspective, because when you talk about practical application, I'm always concerned too that the faithful, we'll find a way, because if you have a relationship with God, then you will exercise that in one form or another. But I get very concerned about those who don't really have a strong relationship with the Lord or relationship with the Lord. What does that mean for them to say that, you know, for us to say, for those of us who believe? And, you know, and so God is evident, as you say, and sometimes in a person that you might least expect. And when you reach out, if you begin to reach out in any way towards your health, whatever that health is, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and even, and it is a tough world. You're absolutely right. When there's a standard, and it is a standard, you know, said that men are meant to provide in certain ways, food, clothing, and shelter. And I mean, and I don't mean just men, but in terms of provisions in society, this is the societal construct. Where if you don't have these things in place, then somehow you are less than who you are. You're less than a man. And you know, things happen in life. Things happen to anybody. You can have these things. You can lose these things. And so, of course, it affects your very understanding of who you are, not only personally, but who society says you are. And at those moments, those are moments that can affect your very core and who you not only see who you are, but who is this God if these things could happen to me. But, you know, bad times fall on the faithful and the unfaithful, just like it rains on the just and the unjust. But if you are able to hold on to any moment of hope, even in hopeless times, if you can look about you and say, you know, I can still move my limbs, I can still breathe, I can still see, I can still use whatever capacity I have, then every day is a day to try to reach toward that, those things that are necessities. People need food, clothing, and shelter to survive, however you mean to. If you are headed to a shelter, if you meet a benevolent person, or there's a space in that shelter, there's a way there is a moment in which you can gather your thoughts. There's a moment when you can gather your spirit. There's a moment perhaps that you can encounter somebody who can not only offer you a faithful word or a word of encouragement, but perhaps that food for a day will allow you to see that God still cares for you. There is a God, and that God has provided just even for this day. And
yes.
So when I speak about a spirit of gratitude or a spirit of understanding or a spirit of acknowledgement, of honesty about where you are, I think with men it becomes a means of acknowledgement on another level, of being able to just say to yourself, I think men tend, well, we all do, tend to put things in a failure category much quicker, because society expects a certain thing from men.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look at things from a perspective of not just gender roles, Reverend Carl with the K, when we were in seminary together, when we were both, ordained, and when we came into this understanding, I don't particularly subscribe to the majority of mankind, because I think it continues to promote the kinds of stereotypes, and it also leaves people out. And so when we have these kinds of pejoratives, then we also create these separate and distinct kind of roles. We perpetuate separate and distinct kind of roles. So you know that I tend to use the word humanity, because when we begin to see the humanness, the human side of things, when we begin to look at ourselves as creatures of creation, of the Most High God that encompasses both male and female in terms of characteristics, spiritual characteristics, then we're able to see ourselves more whole. We're maybe able to see ourselves as these creatures that are prone to all of the vicissitudes of life and all of the emotional fallout of the onslaught of the vicissitudes of life. And so how do we react to those things? Then we become much more real. Then we're able to not just put things in the categories that society, the expectations of society, but to deal with how we feel about our personhood. How do we feel about as an individual? How do we feel about society? How do we overcome these things? When we become very, very human, that we allow the very, very omnipotent and sovereign God that has made all of us, where all of the characteristics of who we are, having been made in God, now are being seen at a different kind of level. And so we're not just looking for society to rectify our concerns, because as my sister said, if we look only toward each other and not the God in each other, if we look toward, we look for God in every one of these moments, God will show up in the moment. God will show up not only in another person, God will show up in who you hear a bird sing. God will show up in encouragement. And encouragement makes a huge difference in a person being able to get up and try it again when you've been knocked down in life, when you feel like society has imposed upon you standards that you feel that you're failing in those standards. When you begin to seek God in all aspects of living, when life becomes much greater than our patriarchal norms, when life becomes much in our fundamental dogma of the church and our religious practices, when God becomes beyond that which we read, that we take as literal interpretation, when we begin to see God in every aspect, our encouragement begins to show up, because we to see the power of God. And if power is, if God can have power in the smallest of creatures to be able to sustain life against the very dominant powers of life and find value in those moments, you know, against the odds, then we will be able to see our strength, because we'll be able to see that that strength comes from something greater than who we are.
All
and
right,
we don't
now.
Need society to be.
I love it. I love it. And the key to what you were saying there is balancing both male and female characteristics in all people, because we all come from the same source, being a living, a true being in every aspect of our lives, so that we're not conditioned where I only have to go to church on Sunday and 1/7 out the week I can praise Him and shout and be into my my ritualistic conditioning, and knowing that this thing is only a part of what God is and who God is. And one of the things I think that's kind of we've bought into collectively, especially in Protestant churches and then also Christian churches in general, is that there's almost a magic formula to God. You know, if we just, you know, say the right words and we do the right things and then we get a testimony from Paul, like you said, there's a thorn in the flesh, there's a struggle that I have, there's a problem that I have, that God will not remove that struggle. And so it brings to mind that there's a purpose in pain, and there's strength to be found in the struggle. We're getting down to the last, oh my God, our time is gone. We got 3 minutes left. And so could you use your final comments from both of you, starting, take about a minute, please, and then I'll close it out with a minute, and it's just kind of rounded up in, as far as the purpose of pain and what we can do about those things. And let's go with you, Lucia.
Yes, well, I thank the Lord for the pain, because without any pain, there's no growth. I thank Him for every trial, test, and tribulation, and everything that has come my way. Lord has made me who I am today so that I am able to help others. So if you have never been through anything, it's really hard to help others. People say that's not true, but for me, that is true. Okay, the next one, please. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us today, too. You're always so consistent. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate you, too.
And could you speak to the strength in the struggle, Renee, as we begin to wind down, and we're going to have to come back again. We so appreciate your insight and, you know, talking about the understanding, the honesty, acknowledging God, accepting God as it is, and accepting God for who God is. And could you speak to maybe some of the strength that is obtained during the struggle?
I think strength comes by way of prayer and supplication as well. You know, all things being grateful, taking a moment, even in the worst of times, to acknowledge something that's good, to create, you know, be self-reflective and to try to create every day. Get up, you know, say, when you get knocked down, get up and try again. You know, you used to say that when we were little kids, we'd fall and we'd cry and wipe your tears and, you know, parents say, get up and try it again. You know, to do that, and God meets you at those places. And my sister was saying, you know, unless you've been through some things, you just don't know. You know, the best of times also come as a way of understanding the worst of times.
Yes.
So being even appreciative of those moments, a spirit of gratitude, being self-reflective, finding your own sense of pleasures that you can extend to other people that are healthy forms of pleasures now. We're talking about things that help to grow your spirit, not things that will, you know, that will crush you, things that you can't even begin to recognize yourself or recognize God. But even if you are in the midst of those things, then, you know, if you have a desire, then if you begin to exercise that faith, cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord, and you'll begin to see that life has promises. And, you know, that word of God, that Bible, it has, when you see what folk went through and when you see how God's pulled them through, it's an encourager. And then
amen.
Remind everybody as you need encouragement.
Yes, and we so appreciate you. We got like 40 seconds left, and we're going to have to come back and do it again. We thank you all for tuning in and listening today. We thank our guests, T. Renee Crutcher and Lucia B. Little Star. We've had an excellent time on how to use the worst of life to make the best of life. And just like our Lord's Prayer says, give us this day there ought to be a pause behind that this day. Because if you don't have this day, it doesn't matter how much bread you have. So make sure you make the most of this day. Enjoy this day. Make the most of each and every day. And knowing that the love that brought you here is going to sustain you, it's going to keep you. I'm Help Somebody. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter. God bless you. Until we meet again.